The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth. The trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge, a glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to discuss Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Overview of the program. There are regular statements that Jesus is coming soon. In fact, Jesus has been coming soon for several hundred years, and he's not come. We will note that Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. We will note that Yeshua commanded that we preach the good news of the kingdom of Yah to all the world. It will be pointed out that Satan has been sent to the pit for 1,000 years and must be released before Yeshua can return. We will pose the question, what does it mean to make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool? And note that humans, not Yah, must make Yeshua's enemies his footstool. We will pose the question, how do we make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool? We will then discuss getting free of sin, rehearsing the covenant, getting rid of demons, combating Satan's servants, and returning curses. And we will then speak of tearing down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program and TV program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. It's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down. For previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least three or four podcast websites which have all the back issues. It's also on recent broadcasts, also on LinkedIn and YouTube. So we're going to look today at 2022:11:06. Yeshua, Jesus, is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. There are regular statements that Jesus is coming soon. As I said a minute ago, in fact, Jesus has been coming soon for several hundred years, and he's not come. This is a result of some confusion in Revelation 20, where it's written that in most English translations that they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And before that, it writes of Satan being cast into the pit. Now, the fact of the matter is that Christ, as it's used there, relates to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it says that they, being you and me, will reign on earth. Well, you and I won't necessarily reign, but some people will reign on earth with the Spirit of Yah, with Christ. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the pit. And if there's somebody in right standing with Father to call for Yeshua's return, Yeshua will return. But it is by no means certain that Yeshua will return at all. And as things are going at the moment, there's a strong possibility that Yeshua will never return, and the satanic and demonic realm will have control over the earth forever. So, folks, yes, Yeshua is waiting. And what are you going to do about it? That's what we're going to talk about today. So Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. The fact is that there are some things that need to happen before Yeshua will come. Foremost of these is that he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Psalm 110, verse 1. Yah, the eternally self-existing, said to my Adonai, Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Luke 20:42-43. And David said, and in the book of Psalms, Yah, the eternally self-existing, in other words, incorrectly, the Lord, said unto my Adonai, incorrectly, Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So until Yeshua's enemies are made his footstool, he's not going to return. Who are Yeshua's enemies, and what does it mean to make them a footstool to him? We'll discuss this shortly. So, folks, that's really, really important to understand. There's, I don't know, 4 or 5 verses in the Bible which say that Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. You can rationalize and explain and justify and excuse and what have you and do all sorts of strange hermeneutical and other fancy footwork. But the plain language says that Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. We're going to talk about what that entails, how you do it, and that hopefully will give you some idea of what you can do to make it possible for Yeshua to return. Because if we do not do something significant to make it possible for Yeshua to return, he is not going to return, folks. These so-called prophecies are not foretellings of what will happen. They're instructions to the prophets of what is required to happen for certain other things to happen. And they require action by human beings. Then, in addition to that, we need to preach the good news of the kingdom of Yah to all the world. So Mark 16:14-20, we read, still later, he, Yeshua, appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. So this is after his resurrection. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When Adonai Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at Yah's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and Yah worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So there's another requirement, folks. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. The thing you have to understand is that if you go to a certain place and preach the good news, and then you carry on and travel on and it goes on another few years, and other people in that area come to the age of majority and nobody preaches the good news to them, then somebody's got to go back and repeat the exercise. It's by no means a trivial objective. Then Satan has been sent to the pit for 1,000 years. In Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3, then I saw a messenger, or incorrectly angel, coming down from heaven with the key to the abyss, holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss, shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he could not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were complete. After that, he must be released for a brief period of time. So Yeshua cannot return for at least 1,000 years after Satan was sent to the pit, and that only occurred on the 3rd of May 2003, so roughly 980 years to go before Yeshua can return. See the article Satan to the Pit 2003 on the website. So around about May 3003, 980 years, just almost exactly from now, Satan will be released from the pit. A few things have to happen. And then if Yeshua is victorious, if his enemies are made his footstool, then, and only then, Yeshua will return. So it's so important, folks, to understand this. There are these things that are going to take time. The calendar is foreordained, 7,000 years from creation to the time that the contest is complete, and either Yeshua returns in victory or Satan is victorious. See the article on the history of the real history of mankind on the website. So, what does it mean to make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool? So this brings us back to the question, what does it mean to make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool? Well, part of the answer is that a pure message of the good news of the kingdom of Yah must be preached to all the world. So in one generation, to all alive over the age of 13, in other words, over about 7 billion people, quite a stretch target, and this needs to include, but is not limited to, the following truths. Yah the eternally self-existing is the name of the Creator, not the Lord. The Almighty is a descriptor of the Almighty, not God. Yeshua is the name of the prophet, not Jesus. Steak is the item on which Yeshua died, not a cross. Yeshua is a man. He's not the Almighty. He's not Yah. He's not God. The Bible is a useful reference. It's no more than that. It's not the Word of God. So some absolutely key truths. which are stumbling blocks for the vast majority of believers on earth today, for the vast majority of people who have any reference to the Bible today. There's so much confusion in the translation of the Bible. The Bible is a very inaccurate book in English and in all the languages that it's been translated to from English, or with a strong influence of English. I cannot comment on other languages where translation took place directly from the Hebrew or the Greek. But remember also that the Greek translations are not that good. They are translations, they're not particularly accurate, and they're based on fragmented manuscripts. Then, in addition to the above, we need to observe the true Sabbath, which is Saturday. We need to observe the high Sabbaths, Pesach or Passover, Shavuot or Pentecost, which we had last Sunday, Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the first day of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, and the great day of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. We should hate Christmas, hate Easter, hate Halloween, and avoid these at all costs, etc. There's a huge amount on the website, which if you're serious, I suggest you to read. There's a schedule of truths near the top of the menu. There are all sorts of other articles, over 1,000 web pages, around 2,500 articles. So I encourage you to dig in there. There's a lot more, but the ones that I've just listed here are probably the biggest stumbling blocks. If you go and look into the commandments, the Ten Commandments, you find that the vast majority of people who regard themselves as believers are breaking all of the Ten Commandments, or nearly all of the Ten Commandments. And so just a simple thing like thou shalt not commit murder, if you're using an abortive contraceptive, an intrauterine device or similar, every time an egg is fertilized and is unable to implant, you've committed murder. If you call Father Yah God or the Lord, you're breaking the third commandment. You need to honor your parents. No lying. So much of the doctrine of most religions is lies. Together with all this, it means that those who truly believe have to get free of sin and stay free of sin. See the webpage, What is Required to Live Above Sin. Finally, it means that those who truly believe get free of demons, cast out demons and satanic messengers from their dwellings, their businesses, their places of assembly, etc. And that they tear down principalities, powers, thrones and dominions, send them where Father Yah wants them to go. Then Yeshua can return. So there's a lot of work to do, folks. Remember that the real miracle of Yeshua's life was that he lived 33 and a half years on earth without committing a single sin. Because he died free of sin, death had no hold on him, and he was automatically resurrected. The resurrection of Yeshua is not some fancy bit of mumbo jumbo. It's just a simple consequence of living without sin. If you get to a place where you live without sin and you die without sin, you will be resurrected in the same fashion. Enoch was resurrected in that manner way, 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 way back. So just be clear what the real issue is. We are required to live above sin. That means we keep all of the Ten Commandments. That means that we don't stray in some of the other areas that people get into error on. So I really encourage you to apply your mind to what are you going to do to please Father? What are you going to do to get free of sin? Yes, there are other things you can do for Father by crafting beautiful places of worship, etc. But the biggest thing that he needs from you is to live free of sin. And you're not going to conquer the forces of darkness and make Yeshua's enemies his footstool until you live free of sin. So just to reinforce that, humans, not Yah, must make Yeshua's enemies his footstool. It must be stressed that Yah delegated all authority on earth to Adam. Adam then submitted to Satan and gave all authority on earth to... It must be stressed that Yah delegated all authority on earth to Adam. Adam then submitted to Satan by believing his lies and eating the forbidden fruit and gave all authority on earth to Satan. See the article Essence of My Message regarding the history of our world today on the website. Yeshua, through his sinless life and death, regained authority, but immediately delegated to those who follow him. And this is only effective through the office of a believer who is free of sin and who understands their authority. So today, that's virtually no one. See the article, The Authority of the Believer, on the website. That's Child of the Anointed Life, Child of the... Child of the webpage Anointed Life, and a child of that webpage Anointed Life, Part 3, Authority of the Believer. So believers must make the enemies of Yeshua his footstool. This is so important. There are so many things where believers are sitting back, twiddling their thumbs, waiting for God to do something. And Yah is not going to do anything. Jesus is not going to do anything. Yeshua is not going to do anything. They are sitting, waiting for us to make Yeshua's enemies his footstool. Can't stress that enough. It's up to us. So how do we make the enemies of Yeshua's footstool? Well, the first thing we need to do, as I mentioned a minute ago, is to get free of sin in our lives, which means we address all the lies we believe and teach as summarized above and discussed in detail on the website. See the essence of my message and other articles on the website. Folks, I realize I'm kind of beating the same drum a bit here, but it really... is so important. The biggest challenge for you as a believer, for me as a believer, is to live life on earth without sinning. Please hear me. As long as you're in sin, as long as you're calling the Creator God or the Lord instead of Yah, the eternally self-existing, as long as you're calling Yeshua Jesus, as long as you are referring to the cross and not the stake, as long as you are not honoring your parents, as long as you have a yahoo.com email address, and so on and so on and so forth, you are in sin, you are a servant of Satan, and you have little or no authority over the forces of darkness. So you, to put it bluntly, if you are not living free of sin, you're pretty near useless and powerless to the Creator. You may be doing things that look like power, but remember that Yeshua said, you will cry to me, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal in your name? And he will work for me. So he will respond. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. If you don't call him by his true name, how do you have a relationship with him? And secondly, you gain victory over the forces of darkness by rehearsing the covenant of Yeshua. With this we understand and regularly rehearse the covenant of Yeshua. See the article, Covenant of Yeshua, Jesus Forgives, and much, much more. So, the covenant of Yeshua, some call it communion, some call it the sacraments. I prefer to just call it rehearsing the covenant. You take the bread, you break it, you pray, say, Father, I thank you that you helped me to walk in the fullness of the covenant. You take the cup of red wine or red grape juice, and you pray over it, and you say, Father, I thank you that you forgive me all my sins. I thank you that you helped me to walk in the fullness of the covenant. You can do that twice a day if you want to. You can do it three times a day if you want to. But if it starts getting tired and jaded and you start taking it for granted, then back off for a while. With that, you can dab a bit of the grape juice of the wine on your forehead, on your right earlobe, on your right eyebrow, on your tongue, back of your neck, right thumb, right big toe. Asking Father to cover you with the blood of the covenant. You can also anoint yourself with the grape juice from the top of your head to the soles of your feet on occasion. Cleansed by the blood. Take it literally. Walk in the covenant. Understand the covenant. Comply with the covenant. Be quick to repent when you sin. So, so important. And then get free of demons. As you clean up your life, you'll progressively be able to get rid of the demons that are attached to you. Some associated with bloodline curses, others associated with sins you've committed, others transmitted from those you've had sexual intercourse with, etc. When you know that you have dealt with a particular sin or similar, you can pray. I speak to all demons associated with, name the sin, and in the name of Yeshua, I bind you and command you to leave me and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind all demons who no longer have a legal right to be attached to me and to send those demons where you command them to go. I ask you to show me what other demons have legal rights to be on me and how to care for those legal rights. See the webpage Essence Cleansing and Deliverance and the other one, Essence of Message Regarding Prayer. Folks, please don't tell me you don't have demons. There are roughly 100 billion ancestor spirits or demons on the planet today. That's 100 billion people who have died without a relationship with the Creator. So if you are at some cursory level a believer, trust me, you have a whole pack of demons that are trying their best to lead you into sin and error. You need to get rid of them. There are all sorts of hocus-pocus rituals to get rid of demons, but the simplest way to get rid of demons is, number one, stop sinning. Number two, when you stop a particular sin, repent, confess, take the bread and wine, and then get rid of the demons associated with that sin, because demons can only stay on you while you have sin in your life. They can't stay on you when you're free of sin. They're inanimate. They don't have the ability to mobilize themselves without instruction from you, but they will stay. So they will stay on you even if you get free of sin. You have to tell them to go. In the name of Yeshua, I bind you. I command you to leave me and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, I thank you that you send your mighty warring messengers to bind, cast out, and send where you want to go, the spirits that I've named. You can pray that not necessarily every day, but you can pray it on a regular basis, particularly in the early parts of your walk where you're getting free of sin. Once you're fully free of sin and you're living free of sin, it's much less of an issue. So the demons may not be doing much in your life, but they're sitting there waiting for an opportunity to get you to sin, and they may be having a field day with you, getting you to lie, getting you to believe all sorts of wrong things, etc. So either way, you need to get rid of them. Then get rid of demons in your dwelling place, your place of work, the places of assembly, etc. See the prayers in the articles that I've cited above. So remember that a demon, an ancestor spirit without a human body, it cannot move. Well, it can move with a human body, it can move with an animal, or it can move with a messenger, an angel. So if somebody has a wild orgy in a house, demons get knocked off during the antics, and they remain stuck wherever they're stuck, on the floor, on the sofa, on the curtains, wherever. And they will influence you. The time I mentioned that I had an adulterous relationship, it turned out eventually that the house had been used previously for orgies, and there were demons of lust and fornication all over the property, especially in the room that I adopted as my office. So it was no wonder I got into fornication while I was living in that house. It was just begging there, sitting there begging to take me over. So you need to be aware of that. You need to clean up your rooms, go through room by room. Father, in the name of Yeshua, now with the wine, with the blood, dab it, the doorposts and the lintels, etc. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cast out all spirits that do not belong in this room and to show me all legal rights that are keeping them here. In the name of Yeshua, I bind you, I command you to tear you down. I command you to leave now and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, I thank you that you send your mighty warring messengers to bind, tear down, cast out, and send where you want to go the spirits that I've named. I anoint this room with the blood of the covenant, and I thank you that you seal it from all demonic ingress. Then combat Satan's servants. As you get closer to Father and become more active in his service, human Satan's servants, Satanists, witches, warlocks, etc., will start cursing you. These can include death curses and also human sacrifices, usually abortions, against you. If you have sin in your life, those curses will be effective and things will go wrong in your life and eventually take you out. If you are free of sin, those curses will have no effect and they will not alight, but they will remain around you seeking an opportunity to act. I, at one stage, made some mistakes, prayed inaccurately, ended up with about 10,000 demons. They weren't touching me because I was walking free of sin, but it took 2 days to get rid of all of them. And I forget the numbers, something like 190 death curses against me and 96 human sacrifices against me to try and destroy. But they weren't touching me because I was free of sin. And then if you're in a case situation like that and you are free of sin and you're in right standing with Father and you go to him and say, Father, I ask you to return those curses in the magnitude you deem appropriate so that they will learn not to curse your servants. I got to a point where I did that. And so many Satanists and witches and warlocks died or got very ill when their curses came bouncing back to them, that after a while they stopped cursing me. Nobody wanted to curse me because they were going to get killed. So that's part of the battle. You want to make it difficult for the Satan servants to take you on. This is not a child's game, folks. Once you're free of sin and have a clear understanding of your authority, it is possible to ask Father to return the curses in the magnitude and manner that he deems appropriate. Prayers follows. Note that until you've cleaned up your life significantly, by which I mean at the very least several sets of 7 3-day fasts and deep self-examination and dealing with sin, you're not legally in a position to pray this prayer. Ask Father to show you when, if you're in a position to pray this. Realize that if you do pray it prematurely, the forces of darkness will laugh at you and intensify their efforts against you to prevent you coming to a point where you are legally able to pray this. Note also that this is an ongoing prayer. The forces of darkness that you're praying against are massive and include billions of demons and fallen messengers. And depending on your level of authority, you may have to pray repeatedly to have only a few leave. There are many other prayers along these lines that can be prayed, but these are outside the scope of this. So if you're returning curses, if you've really gone to significant effort to sort out your life before Yah, you can go further. Father, I ask that where curses have been spoken against me by people that understand what they're doing, that you will return those curses in the magnitude that you deem appropriate, that they may learn not to curse those who serve you. The first time I prayed this, a person, a practicing witch, died 2 days later, and another Satan servant died 6 weeks later after a heart attack and several weeks in intensive care. This is not a prayer to be prayed lightly, only if you seriously cleaned up your life first. I don't want you to take this on lightly, and I also don't want you to be scared of it. It's a war. Once you get reasonably close to Father, you will find that the satanic demonic realm knows you by name. They are praying against you. They are cursing you. They may even go so far, if you get really close to Father and you've got sin in your life, to actually physically attack you, try and cause accidents, shoot you. I know one instance of a woman who got really close to Father, and she had some error and some sin in her life, so that the forces of darkness had continual legal right to attack her. She died on one occasion. I prayed to bring her back to life, cast out the demon that was causing the death. It's tough, folks. If you get really close to Father and you get into the forefront of the battle, believe me, it is war. It is a battle. It is really tough stuff, not for the faint of heart. But if you're serious about serving Father, that's where you need to go. Note that a curse without cause may not alight. It's legally not allowed to alight. So if curses are touching you, then you have sin in your life and you do not have a basis to ask for the curses to be returned. It is only once you've dealt with your sin that the Almighty will grant such a petition, and He may not grant such a petition, particularly if you pray such a prayer presumptuously. You give the forces of darkness the right to attack you further. So pray with caution, and only once you're certain you're in right standing at the level that permits you to pray this. Do not return curses yourself. That's witchcraft, and you will open the door to massive demonic infestation. So you pray, Father, as I've just prayed, Father, I ask you to return the curses in the magnitude you deem appropriate. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, I had a whole lot of curses against me, human sacrifices, thousands of demons. And I was just carrying on living my life completely unaware of those things, because I was living above sin. I was living free of sin. Folks, living free of sin is the most powerful thing that you can do as a servant of the Most High Creator. I can't stress this enough. There's not a whole lot of mumbo jumbo and magic and stuff. Yes, you get anointed. Yes, you get blessed, etc., etc. But ultimately, if you are free of sin, the forces of darkness cannot touch you. Really encourage you to take hold of that and seek it. That is the essence of the battle, is to get free of sin. Note that you can only pray with authority in the name of Yeshua once you have a revelation of the authority that He gained through His sinless life and death, and that He delegated that authority to those who follow His example and leadership and serve the Almighty faithfully. Read the web page, Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death. Note that if a large number of believers were to reach such a level of sanctification as I'm suggesting here, then the power of the returned witchcraft and curses against the enemies, typically magnified 1,000 times, will be immense. Once one is doing this regularly, after a while, as I said just now, the Satan servants will cease cursing you, because they fear for their lives. This is a very concrete way in which you can make the enemies of Yeshua His footstool. The forces of darkness cannot touch you if you are free of sin. They don't know how to handle it. Their power is through leading people into sin, putting demons on people to help people sin, teaching lies in the church, in the mosque, in the synagogue, wherever, the temple. As long as the vast majority of so-called believers are in error and sin, they are useless against the forces of darkness, even when they have some apparent proxy of power against the forces of darkness. So I can't challenge you enough. Get free of sin. Right then. The next thing, tear down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. This is really getting into the battle, the thick of the battle. Once one is clean, free of sin, and has cleaned up one's doctrine, one can go forth two by two and tear down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. Those are the hierarchies of the satanic and demonic realm. Once you've dealt with all the items above, you can look at praying more offensive prayers against the satanic realm and servants of Satan. See other articles about how this realm operates, including the essence of message, re-satanic and demonic web page. Pray, I come against every principality, power, throne, and dominion that is operating over me and my dwelling. And in the name of Yeshua, I tear you down and command you to go where Father Yah sends you. Father, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to tear down, and cast out. And send where you want to go the demons that I've named in the name of Yeshua. Only pray this if there are at least two of you living together at the same address, in covenant, in harmony, and praying as one with one another. Never pray this if you're on your own. Once the situation is stable at your place of work, two or more of you can pray this over your place of work. Likewise, your place of religious assembly. This is one of the most powerful prayers that there is. It's probably, along with returning curses, it's probably pretty much the most powerful thing that you as a believer can do to start turning the captivity of the world. Bear in mind that there are around 100 billion demons. There are billions of satanic messengers, satanic angels. The more you tear them down, the more you bind them, the more that Father Yah locks them away, the more you will start getting an open heaven and things will start to get easier for you and those around you. So I've given you a prayer that you can pray over the place where you live. You can then extend that, pray the same prayer over this property, over the city block, over the suburb of this town, over this town, over the city, over this province or county or state, over this nation, over this continent, over this hemisphere, over planet Earth. And you do that day by day by day, every day. Ideally, these prayers should be prayed daily for months and even years at a time, slowly but systematically tearing down the satanic and demonic realm. Once thousands of believers around the earth are praying this daily, then we will be making the enemies of Yeshua a footstool for his feet at a significant level. I hope that this article has given you a new perspective on what needs to happen before Yeshua returns and giving you some concrete steps you can take to expedite and facilitate his return. Folks, this last point is the big one. Get into a place where you are in united in harmony, husband and wife, a couple of people in an assembly, a church, a synagogue, a mosque, a couple of people at work, but able to cover one another's backs, walking in truth, walking free of sin, and start praying this series of prayers every day. And just little by little, you'll chip away. And the more people you can get praying this prayer, so if you say, right, all the people in an assembly are praying this together in the assembly every Saturday and other times that they come together, and then they're all going home and praying it in their homes the rest of the week, you will have a big impact. So to wrap up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I can't stress this enough, folks. The only reason you are here, the only reason I am here, is that millions of years ago, the Almighty Creator, who has always existed, was lonely, and he set about creating intelligent beings that he could have constructive relationships with. And so he created a mass of matter. There was a big bang. He created the universe. He created all the planets and the stars. He created the solar system. He created planet Earth. And then he refined the atmosphere on planet Earth. And eventually he created one cell animals and plants, and then more and more complex plants and more complex animals, until eventually he got to a point where he created us. And he did all of that because he wanted people to be his friends, folks. He wanted people that he could talk to. He wanted people that he could have conversations with. He wanted people that he could experiment with, and not experiment with them, do experiments alongside them. Learn about everything that he'd created. If you're not doing that, you're going to be so disappointed when you die. So some key things on the website, videos, Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the essence of my message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, other faiths, and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available to relationship with creatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. As I've said, there are about four podcast websites that have the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel, prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. As I said earlier, there are over 1,000 web pages, around 2,500 articles, huge amount of information, all sorts of subjects. You may well find the answers to your questions on the website. I encourage you to visit the website regularly. There are books which you can download, PDF books which you can download and print if you want to. All the material on the website is free for your use. Do whatever you want to do with it. Just be aware that you will be called to account on the Day of Judgment. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I really want to stress this. It does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your tribe is, what your race is. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, tall or short, fat or thin, blonde, blue-eyed, black hair, brown eyes, anything in between. Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Confucius, Baha'i, whatever. European, African, Asian. Doesn't matter, folks. Father is not interested in those carnal distinctions. He wants a deep personal relationship with every single human being on the planet. And if you will reach out to him and say, Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, James Robertson says I can become your friend. I desire to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me the way. He will meet you wherever you are right now. He will take you by the hand and he will guide you. I'm here to help you. Pray that prayer. Email me. I'll help you in whatever way I can. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Father, I